Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2013. I'm Holly Keen, and this is Raven News. Assembly members will be sifting through applications for a new municipal attorney, perhaps as early as next week. Teresa Hillhouse has been in the post for more than 7 years. She announced her resignation earlier this month and said she's moving to Anchorage to be closer to her father. Her last day with the city of Sitka is March 1st. The municipal attorney is the only position besides the administrator to be hired directly by the assembly. Members will meet publicly on January 30th to review applications and then decide on finalists to invite for an in-person interview. Hillhouse earned about $103,000 a year as attorney. The assembly on Tuesday agreed to retain her services for another 4 months after her resignation at half the salary. Hillhouse made the offer, saying she'd like to help transition her successor into the job. Taking care of the homeless is an ongoing problem in Alaska and elsewhere, and unfortunately, it's not limited to adults. There are also is a large and less visible population of homeless kids. By day, they might be in school, indistinguishable from the other students. But by night, they're short-term crashers or couch surfers. These kids may be avoiding an unsafe situation at home, or they're over 18, between childhood and adulthood, and simply have no options. KCAW's Ann Bryce recently talked with a family in Sitka who participate in a host home program, the only one in Alaska, and of one of very few in the nation. They take in kids between ages 16 and 21 who have no place to go and give them a home.
There's this family in Sitka that has homeless teenagers living in their house. It might make some people nervous. It's not easy raising a teenager, or being one for that matter, especially when dealing with all the problems that come with being homeless. But the family, a longtime married couple, they look past what the kids might seem like on the outside and look inside for who they really are.
We've had children in our home where people are just dumbfounded that we let them into our home. Their jaw drops. My response is, I don't know this child that you're talking about. Kids make mistakes. If they make mistakes in a healthy environment, that's a different deal.
The couple is part of a program run by the nonprofit Youth Advocates of Sitka, or YAS. It places homeless youth with families in the community. We've been asked to keep the resource parents' names confidential to protect the identities of the homeless teens they've hosted. The resource dad says most of the people they invite into their home have really become part of the family.
I call them all my children. I still call them, even after long after they're gone, and many of them have grown up now and have bought their own homes and their own cars and have their own families and have moved to different parts of the United States. For us, it's about family, and we wanted to have a large family, and sometimes things don't turn out the way that you think. It's been a real blessing for us because now we can still have a large family.
Clients can be 16 through 21 years old and are able to stay in a home for up to 18 months. The program is funded by a federal grant and is the only one of its kind in Alaska. The couple has hosted more than a dozen youth over the five-year life of the program. They also take younger foster care kids as well. Since they've always wanted a big family, they're committed to having the same dynamic in their house.
I have five sisters, three brothers.
The oldest of seven.
She's the oldest of seven. And so we're very comfortable with large families. We know what it's like to share food and have to think of others and do dishes and
we encourage family dinners.
We encourage family dinners every night. It's really important. We both come from families where everybody, no matter what your schedule was, you had to be home at a certain time.
Cultivating healthy relationships can be really hard, especially if trust has been broken in the past, like it has been for many of these youth. And the host mom believes that to have a healthy relationship, love isn't necessarily required.
A big thing is communication and trust. Trust is a huge thing. A lot of times we've had conversations with our kids or with each other about, what matters most, love or trust, and you need to have both in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
But having trust is so much bigger.
Love is unconditional, but trust isn't. They say that to cultivate and keep trust, you have to avoid so-called deal breakers.
Be violated, either emotional, spiritual, physical. Those kinds of things are deal breakers. It usually comes down to physical abuse or emotional abuse.
Other deal breakers are using alcohol, pot, or other substances that might play a large role in some of the lives of these kids. This is a clean home. They don't even drink a glass of wine at dinner.
So they're able to see that kind of a lifestyle. So it's a little different for them to be able to experience that and to learn how that kind of lifestyle is and to know that that's not accepted in our home.
What we don't want to create is an environment where they have to be dishonest with us. And so we really try to foster dialogue and foster an environment where they're going to feel safe to talk with us. And some kids, they can't handle it. There are kids that their substances are really important to them and they have to leave the home.
And the program has some deal breakers too. In order for the youth to qualify for the program, they have to be willing to set some goals of their own and work toward becoming independent. Jessica Clark is the Family Resource Center program manager of YAS. She meets with clients to make an individual plan. She says that setting goals helps a lot of people get on their feet.
Like, some we've heard people say, I would like to be a rock star. When you're working with youth, it's really easy to be like, come on now. You're homeless and you want to be a rock star. Let's talk about reality, right? Well, the reality of the situation is if you start listing what you need to have in line and do to be a rock star, you'll find out that it's a lot of the same job skills that you might need, minus maybe the music part.
Just as each person's life plan is individualized, so is the home placement. All different types of families take part in the program, and a lot of care is put into matching up the family and the youth in a situation they all feel good in.
Yeah, you know, we always keep in touch with them. They call us up, and they still come over, even years later. The kids do, and you know, they'll call us from different parts of the country to say hello and wish us happy birthday or whatever. And
yeah.
It's just having older kids when you're. I feel like an old man because I'm going to my kids' house.
Reporting in Sitka. I'm Ann Bryce.
Alaska's economy weathered the Great Recession better than most states and should hold steady for the foreseeable future. But depending on who you ask, there could be gloom on the horizon. World Trade Center Alaska brought its annual statewide economic forecast luncheon to Juneau last week. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, two economists offered differing predictions for the state's fiscal future.
Northern Economics Vice President and Senior Economist Marcus Hartley says he's a pessimist when it comes to Alaska's long-term economy, but he admits the state has done pretty well in recent years, even as other parts of the country struggled.
Alaska is kind of an object in motion that stays in motion. It keeps kind of chugging along like a freight train.
In 2012, Alaska's gross state product was $53 billion, which beat Hartley's forecast and represents a 4% increase from 2011. Job growth also outpaced last year's expectations, led by the healthcare and financial services sectors. But Hartley says 2013 could be the last year in which the state fails to achieve even a small level of growth. He's predicting the gross state product will remain flat this year, and he worries $53 billion may be as good as it gets.
I don't know if we're capped out, but there's the beginnings of a trend there.
The first factor he cites is declining oil production. Alaska currently ranks behind Texas, North Dakota, and California on the list of top oil-producing states. The price of Alaska North Slope crude is still higher than oil produced in other parts of the country, but Hartley says even that might not be sustainable.
There's a pipeline being planned from Texas to California. We also know that there's plans for shipping oil via rail up to the refineries in western Washington. And so there is some concern that oil that's being produced from the middle of the country will get to the west coast and start to undermine the price that we have.
Those projects are still several years away, but Hartley says state spending is a concern right now. He points to a study from the University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research that shows the state may need to use savings to maintain services in next year's budget. The same study predicts a significant deficit by 2023 and recommends immediately cutting the state budget by $2 billion.
A lot will depend on the taxes and the budgets and tax changes and what goes on, but this can be a pretty scary picture.
If Hartley is a pessimist, Greg Wolf is an optimist. The executive director of World Trade Center Alaska says the state is exporting more goods to other countries than it has at any point in history, an estimated $4.5 billion in 2012.
That is somewhat down from the previous year where we were just over $5 billion. It's about a 10% decline, but At this level, it's the second highest in our history. So it's still a very, very strong performance, near record levels. Not every year can be a record year.
Wolf thinks the trend of increased exports will continue. He says Alaska has an abundance of natural resources, is located along strategic shipping channels, and is already doing business with emerging markets like China that are buying a lot of goods.
We have what the world needs, and it's a world that's increasingly able to afford what we have.
China is currently the largest buyer of Alaska exports, followed by Japan, South Korea, and Canada. Part of the reason Wolf is bullish on the state's future is the belief that China will soon be an investor in Alaska, in addition to a buyer of goods.
We don't have any crystal ball or any inside information about this. All we do is look around the rest of the world. We look at any other natural resource jurisdiction in the world, and you'll see the Chinese as buyers, and you increasingly, if they're not there already, you'll see them as investors, partners. And that's likely to be a next step for Alaska.
Wolf says oil, natural gas, and minerals are among the goods emerging countries will need from Alaska, though seafood remains at the top of the state's export list for now. He says the big question will be if the state can produce those goods.
If we're allowed to responsibly develop these resources, we've got an incredibly bright future.
This is the sixth year the World Trade Center Economic Forecast Luncheon has come to Juneau. It's also held every year in Fairbanks and Anchorage. The event usually attracts a number of legislators in the capital city, but this year the only elected state official in attendance was Lieutenant Governor Meade Treadwell, who gave opening remarks. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org. And Raven Radio will shift its morning schedule again this Friday for another test drive of our new public affairs program, Soundcheck, which will air at 8:40 a.m. following the morning interview and writer's almanac. Listeners can find the third broadcast of local news normally heard at 8:49 online at kcaw.org or as a free podcast at the iTunes store.